still alive, let's hit the dance floor. Don't work too hard, my break a backbone. Return of the Mac, the king is back though. Corvette and cash, I never lack those. Shimmy, shimmy, yeah, I got the semi four way. Don't step out the line like this a probate. You hit the line and try to locate. This for the time, got time for no day war.
Welcome to an episode of the Chronos Podcast. Special episode, we're calling it the Chronos Quick Game. My random quick thoughts on hot topics for the week and hit on everything from sports, usually college football, pro football, NBA when that season comes around, anything random like that that comes up within the world that I want to hit on. We'll keep these quick 20-ish minutes as opposed to 45 minutes to an hour that are more long-form content. We're going to start off with college football. Obviously, that's the most important right now for us. So this going into what we would call week two, obviously third game for teams that played in week zero. But this is what I call generally the last week for AP voters to have plausible deniability. It's obviously the big, big, big attention on the one specific AP voter that I won't bring up. You can go on X and figure out exactly what's going on. But basically submits a ballot that doesn't resemble any real knowledge of what is going on in college football. Not a huge surprise. Ultimately, we've got to throw everything out the window. Here's my main problem with the AP is we are flawed individuals. AP voters are going to rely on essentially confirmation bias. If you've got Florida, for instance, as your preseason number 12 team, then you're not going to be real quick to say, hey, my bad, I screwed that one up, and drop them down immediately. So you're going to naturally gravitate towards what will make you look smartest. And most of the time, that's going into whatever you had early on, especially in your preseason, as your as how you're going to vote moving forward. So it generally is a disaster, but, you know, they get it right on the whole. There's only so much you can do. You got to have a wide base to be able to remove any small samples or one individual having too much of an impact. Ultimately, no one's going to be happy with anything unless their team comes out on top. So I don't really get too worked up over that. I do think it should become an opportunity where you get your votes revoked. And I don't know whether that's something that should be done in season. If somebody screws up massively like this voter did, then yeah, I think we should figure out a way to do it. Now, I think it's basically something that I think we need to hold voters' feet to the fire to make sure that they're actually doing their job. I think everybody would sign up and say, hey, what if you got paid to just watch college football and make sure that you're voting competently? I think most people would say yes, although plenty of people get paid a boatload of money on ESPN and they don't really watch much of anything anyway. So maybe it's all for naught. But in my perfect world, everybody's basically on a relegation system where if you put something that's so egregious where you're 8 to 10 spots different than basically everybody else, then we're at least going to put you on probation, maybe double secret probation. Some quick games for this week coming up. Not a lot on the ranked slate, but the big one is one that actually I will be in attendance for. UT and Georgia. It's your college game day. Both teams coming in undefeated. Both teams, I don't think, super wild about their team in general. Georgia obviously is dealing with new quarterback. Tennessee dealing with new quarterback. Seems like almost everybody's dealing with a new quarterback. So that's not really that surprising. I'm excited for the atmosphere. I have not been to a UT game in, I think, 20 years, maybe a little bit more. Excited for that. Excited for the atmosphere there. That's going to be a good one. USF Miami. ACC on notice, unfortunately. As an SMU fan, we're partial to the ACC. It's going to be a big one for Miami to be able to stem the tide a bit of the ACC favorites not being as good as people thought they were. Clemson struggling so far this year. But Miami and a great story in USF. So another crazy South Florida rivalry here. Allegedly some potential for college game day to be down there. But again, Miami doesn't own their stadium. And so there were some lease rental issues going on there that, but unfortunately not going to have more eyes on that one, but should be a good one nonetheless. And then A&M and Notre Dame. Notre Dame's the ranked 8th. They're 0-1. I think this might be the latest in a season where a team is still ranked in the top 10 with only having one loss and no wins. So I don't know what anyone wants to take of that. I think we're still too early. A&M always gets the benefit of the doubt early on. They inevitably fall off. Don't get mad at me. History just is history. Facts are facts. I don't think anybody's really that excited about them Notre Dame, new quarterback. Again, I don't know what to say about them. They're 0-1, but they're still eighth coming off the season they had last year. It's fine, benefited out early, but we can't keep them in if they lose again. I do want to talk about a broader college football situation. And we brought up Florida earlier, and Billy Napier obviously is a great signifier of this situation, which is how rev share is impacting coaching firings. Ultimately, coaching buyouts, coaching contracts have gotten so ridiculous that now buyouts are almost impossible. It's really hard to go to your donor base and say, hey, we've got rev share of $20.5 million. We've got to allocate $15 to football. And then, oh, yeah, remember that giant contract that we gave this coach that we told you we needed the money for because they were so incredible? Well, it turns out something happened. I doubt it's ever, hey, we screwed up big time. Something happened. We got to fire this guy. But don't worry, we've got someone even better coming in. And all of a sudden, these donor bases and these collectives have got to push back and say, wait. If you're telling us we got 20 and a half for rev share, we also need to come up with another 20 to 30 million to fund the rest of the football operation and recruiting budget. And then we also have to come up with another 40, 50 million because you fucked up and hired a bad coach. No, that ain't going to happen. So one, I think we're going to see a lot more ADs fired. I think we're going to see more turnover there. Or they're going to have to just go down with the ship. And so that's the struggle that we're going to start seeing now is the donor base saying, okay, one of two things can be true. We could have a bad hire that needs to be corrected, or we have a bad AD that needs to be corrected. I don't know how. I think they're ultimately going to go to what's our more cost-effective option, and they're going to go that route first. It's an interesting combination of that with the NFL because you look at somebody – realistically, like a Mike McDaniel in Miami, and everybody loved him, right? It shows how fickle we are as people, where really we're way more influenced by the results in terms of how we view it. It's the lens that I always talk about, like, what lens are we looking at everything through? If you're gonna look through it, you know, look through everything is with a positive lens, then you're gonna be happier about things. If you're going to look through everything with an I hate this person lens, then yeah, everything's going to come out as a negative. With McDaniel down in Miami, it's, you know, hey, this guy, like Shanahan coaching tree, this guy, you know, everybody loved him at the beginning, right? So it's, hey, look how cool this guy is. He listens to rap music. He wears joggers. Like, this is amazing. Like, look at all these, you know, instead of this old, you know, macho caveman personality, like, hey, you can actually be, you know, a little quirky, and you can be a little small. You don't have to be Dane Campbell, right? Well, that all worked when the offense was humming, but now all of a sudden you got that pathetic showing against the Colts, who everybody hated too. And then all of a sudden it's, hey, this guy can't control a locker room. This guy's immature. This guy wasn't ready for it, right? So it can't both be true. All it is the guy's the guy. It's just a matter of how we're deciding to look at him. And it always goes that way. And I give Ryan Vasilo credit, because he always talks about this, is it's easy to be bad by being the same. You're going to get a lot more ridicule when you're bad and different. And that's just the way that we're wired. We're fine if we're comfortable. There's been plenty of coaches that suck, but they suck the normal way. Right. And so everybody's is at least a little more comfortable with them being bad. They're not as annoyed or angered by it as somebody that's a little bit different. I don't know what McDaniel's supposed to do. You got a quarterback who probably shouldn't be playing football. Everybody wants to say, well, you know, I'm not a doctor. We don't know his medicals. Like, if you are constantly worried that your quarterback is going to get another concussion if he's touched, they shouldn't be out there. It's going to affect the way you call the plays. It's going to affect the way your team responds. It's going to affect the way the quarterback responds. And it should. This is a human who is in a really tough spot. I think a bigger problem with this overall, at least for the Dolphins specifically, and we see it across the league, is teams are too scared to walk away from good quarterbacks. If you look back, especially in the last 30 years, if you throw out Brady, who's an anomaly, but realistically, if you don't have a quarterback on a rookie scale deal, that QB that you're paying more than rookie scale to better be a true, true, true number one. Josh Allen hasn't made a Super Bowl, okay? He's probably the best quarterback in football. Mahomes has made a Super Bowl. So Mahomes is really your one historical outlier in this. You had Stafford it 1 year with the Rams, but you really have to have a QB on a rookie scale deal because otherwise you can't build out a team. Now, if your quarterback is truly a Super Bowl winning team and you are an upper echelon 1% franchise, if you were the Eagles and you've got Howie Roseman, then that's a different situation. But if you do not have that organization, that infrastructure, so basically you're not the Chiefs, you're not the Eagles, the two teams who basically won all the Super Bowls for the last 5-7 years. If you have a rookie scale quarterback, you got a chance. If you don't have a rookie scale quarterback, you basically have no chance of going to the Super Bowl. So build up the rest of your team and then try and get a quarterback that can actually play. Look around the league. Look at what Dallas is going through. They paid Dak like a true number one difference maker. He's not. The Dolphins paid Tua. The Jags paid Trevor Lawrence. They have basically guaranteed themselves to not go to the Super Bowl. You can't do it. The NFL is too hard. There's too many positions. There's no weaknesses anymore. You can't get by with a weak positional group. Look up and down the Eagles roster last year. They had all that in place before they gave Jalen Hurts the bigger deal. They drafted exceptionally well. The Chiefs draft exceptionally well. And it was Patrick Mahomes, one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. I don't understand how teams are still doing that. Ultimately, what it all comes down to is teams are really, really scared of the unknown. So they would rather have an average Tua, an average Trevor Lawrence, an average Dak Prescott than do what really needs to be done. And it doesn't make sense because you go to your fans. It should be easy to go to your fans and say, look at who wins Super Bowls. This guy was not Patrick Mahomes. We are not the Eagles roster right now. And so we have to do this to do right by our team. You go back to the Steelers. They had a fully fleshed out roster. They bring in Ben Roethlisberger. They win a Super Bowl. The Seahawks, fully fleshed out roster, incredible talent. They bring in a late round pick and Russell Wilson to win it all. That's just the way this has to go. The Eagles did it the first time with Jalen Hurts on the rookie scale deal. That's when you look around. If you're looking for who can actually go win the Super Bowl and it's not a top tier guy, it's going to have to be somebody that's a quarterback on a rookie scale deal. That's why teams should continue to keep throwing these darts. You look at the Titans. They're a good example. They basically got 3 years to put a Super Bowl winning roster around Cam Ward. Now, all of a sudden, it becomes a lot more difficult. Same thing with the Redskins. You got Jaden Daniels. He is proven to be a guy. How long do you have to put a Super Bowl roster around him? Realistically, you look at it, was last year the best year? I don't know. Now, the Giants have a pretty solid roster. They've got a great defense. They've got some good talent on the skill positions. You got a rookie in Jackson Dart. Every team should be operating as soon as they draft that quarterback. You have a 3-year window. If he is not a true number one guy, you either have to play hardball and say, look, we can't do it. We can't give you $40 million a year. Packers have a pretty fleshed out roster. They tried, I think, with that bridge year with Jordan Love his first year, but now Jordan Love's a high paid guy. This might be their last chance. One other thing I want to hit on with the NFL is the Lions. I don't understand why everybody was dismissing the value that Ben Johnson brought. Everybody loved the Lions last year for good reason. Great talent, great offensive line, and the best play designer and play caller in the league outside of Sean McVay. He's gone. Jared Goff, he doesn't have Sean McVay. Now, some of that's a little bit overblown. Like early on with his time with the Rams, you can't put that on him. But nobody thought Jared Goff was a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He gets with Sean McVay, they go to a Super Bowl. He gets with Ben Johnson, all of a sudden, Jared Goff's a top flight guy. Ben Johnson's gone. You can't just recreate that. There are so few phenomenal play callers in the league. To lose a guy like that and expect the offense to just continue on is just nonsense. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Historically, it has not happened where a phenomenal play caller moves on and the offense just keeps on humming. Shoot, the Texans thought they had one in Bobby Slowick, and he only lasted 1 year. And then all of a sudden, and then he gets fired. I don't know if he just sucked all of a sudden. I don't know. But I worry about the same thing in Tampa. You get Liam Cohen leaving. Like, we don't pay enough attention to when great coordinators and great play callers leave. And it's not just the coordinating piece. There's a lot of offensive coordinators out there who aren't calling their plays. Andy Reid's still calling plays. McVay's still calling plays. I think Sean Payton's still calling plays. When you lose the play caller, because that relationship between play caller and quarterback is the most important on the field. It's more important. I think it's more important than head coach and quarterback. Play caller and quarterback, because if that play caller and that quarterback are right in line, toe-to-toe, and they're speaking the same language and they're thinking out of the same brain, most importantly, that play caller knows every single tendency that that quarterback has. Most of the time when you see a great play caller, they understand the quarterback's strengths and weaknesses and understand how to work around it. They understand how to shield them. They're processing everything in such a way that they're able to make those adjustments on the fly. Look at Kevin O'Connell in that Monday night game. He's a top-tier play caller. He's a top-tier quarterback coach. Now, the advantage that they have is that head coach is the play caller. You've got consistency there. When you look at a lot of these quarterbacks who struggle, most of the time it's because they've got different play callers every year. You look at what Caleb Williams is going through right now. Now, he's got Ben Johnson. It doesn't look like it's going to work, because I just don't think he's willing to do what it takes to win in Ben Johnson's offense, which is the other big issue, which is you've got to have a quarterback that understands and buys into what the play caller wants to do. And then play caller's got to work around what the quarterback can do. So how is that going to mesh? I don't know. But it's a big advantage that any team has, whether it's NFL, whether it's college football. When you have the head coach that's also the play caller, you're going to be a much more consistent program. Now, what does that take away from your ability as a head coach? I don't know. But having that ability, having that intertwined is a huge, huge, huge difference. In college, it's gigantic for recruiting. You're not recruiting based on a coordinator. You're not recruiting as a quarterback. You're not coming into play in an offensive coordinator system that might leave. You're not worried about a quarterback coming in and then leaving, you know, basically doing the Lincoln Riley, you know, and taking your quarterback with you. It's a big, 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 big deal. And I don't understand why people don't put enough stock in it. I'm very bearish on the Lions this year. And that's not even to say the impact that Aaron Glenn is going to make by leaving and going to the Jets. I don't know. To Candidly, I don't look at the defense well enough. I don't know it well enough. But I know offense pretty well. And I'm able to see what they've done. Because it's not just about who can draw up a play. It's who knows when to call it. It's who knows how to set it up. It's who knows how to evaluate everything properly and know what his quarterback has in and be able to tell based on how the quarterback's talking. It makes a big, big difference. It was a great start to the season. It's that Sunday night game. I feel like it happens every year where there's a bunch of boring day games. The noon slate is boring. 3 o'clock games, pretty boring. And then boom, all of a sudden you get a Sunday night game with in this case, the Bills and the Ravens, where it just looks like a completely different sport because you've got two quarterbacks that play at such a high level and two phenomenal teams and rosters that are so good. And it's a phenomenal situation to see them square off week one. I loved college football first week with so many top 25 battles. I love the out-of-conference stuff. I love everybody going and being able to really put their – put their reputation on the line, not be scared. I'm excited for the next few years because I still think we had a lot with realignment. A lot of games, you know, SMU, for instance, hey, they still got stuff scheduled. Going to Missouri State, it was something that was scheduled a while ago, right? It was still a G5 program. So I'm excited to see more and more of these start to get announced. I do not want to see neutral site games. I hate neutral site games. It's dumb. It's a money grab. I wish it would stop. It's not going to stop, unfortunately. I hate the stuff over in Europe. I hate the stuff that's being played in Vegas. I don't like the kickoffs in different cities. Leave them on campus. You're penalizing the fans. You're penalizing the students. And you're getting an inferior atmosphere. I don't like it. I wish it would stop. I know it's not going to stop. But I will complain about that, I'm sure, plenty throughout this year and into the future. So new segment, new show. I'm going to try and hit this midweek, try and cover a little bit from the weekend before and a little bit going into next week. We're going to try and keep these around 20 minutes. Hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to shoot any feedback and look forward to hearing from you soon again. This is the Kronos Podcast. Quick game, quick 20 minutes in the middle of the week to hit on previous week, get you ready to go for next week. Until next week, this episode, obviously, as always, sponsored by OPW Solutions, your property, our priority. Thanks for listening. See you soon.